Herzlich willkommen zu einer neuen Ausgabe Social Marketing Nerds Podcast. Heute mit einer besonderen Folge, denn wir haben einen englischsprachigen Gast und einen deutschsprachigen Gast. Und unsere Gäste Andrew Foxwell und Florian Litters sind auch nächstes Jahr mit dabei, wenn es wieder heißt Ads Camp. Und die beiden werden nicht nur am deutschsprachigen und internationalen Tag auf der Bühne stehen, einen zum Besten geben und für euch in den Networking-Pausen zur Verfügung stehen, sondern sie werden auch am Mittwoch drauf einen exklusiven Workshop gemeinsam halten. Hat es so noch nie gegeben. Ein Tag voller Input, Wissenstransfer in Bezug auf Skalierung, Kampagnen, Struktur, Ansätze, wie man entsprechend Kampagnen durchsteuert. Seid dabei, es wird bald Tickets geben und jetzt wünsche ich euch viel Spaß bei der Folge mit Andrew und Florian, wo es darum geht, was die nächsten Wochen und Monate so auf uns zukommen und welche Änderungen der Plattform maßgeblich dazu beitragen werden, dass sich die Art und Weise, wie wir arbeiten, komplett verändern. Viel Spaß!
Hey, welcome. This is a brand new episode of the Social Marketing Nerds podcast. And today, as you will see, it's an episode in English. And we have a fantastic guest today here. Andrew Foxwell is here and Florian Litters. And they will be giving so much value today. I'm pretty sure of it. And you will probably know the names, and you definitely should know that they've done a course, online course together, which on dynamic ads, and you can download that and have a look at it at foxwelldigital.com. And if you've been at the ads camp this year, then you will be probably still flashed by their talks, and you can be happy they will be there at Headscamp next year in May in Cologne. Early birds ticket are available right now, and it's getting even better because Flo and Andrew will be doing a full day workshop together in Cologne on May the 6th. So tickets are not yet available,
but they will be. It will be a once in a lifetime experience because those two guys have never did a workshop together by now, and it's exclusively the first time they will do it together in Germany, Cologne. So these two social ad nerds will hang out the whole day with you to share their knowledge, and yeah, you better be fast and get the information when the tickets are available.
Yeah, I mean, it's the thing is, is it too early to say it could be one of the greatest workshops in Facebook ads ever? I mean, it's a little too early.
Let's raise the bar even higher.
You know, I think let's set expectations. And thank you, by the way, for mentioning the course. You can find all of our courses at foxwelldigital.com/courses. And the one that we did with Florian is Dynamic Ads A to Z. And the reason that I wanted to do it is you know, we were at Ads Camp this year, which, you know, not to oversell this, but if you didn't go last year, you really got to come this year because it's the best conference in the world on Facebook advertising. And I talked to Florian, and who I've known for a couple of years, and you know, it became clear to me that we needed to do something more to collaborate together, and the dynamic ads course was a great thing because he masters it different than I do. I mean, there's so many pieces to that. And so being able to collaborate with him and help a lot of people out has been really, really cool with the course. And so that's part of the reason why we wanted to be able to also do a workshop together in Germany together next year, because he's someone that I respect. I think there's mutual respect between us for the work that we do that's real, helping people really make change and increase their the return on ad spend and increase the results that they're seeing. And we have, all of us really on this podcast, have a dedication to that, making sure that the advice we're giving is things people can implement and really make change in their business and their life.
Totally.
Perfect. Hands-on mentality.
Yeah. It will be a life-changing experience, that's for sure. So, but if you ask yourself, why should I listen to these guys, then you should listen at least for the next half an hour, I think. And then you'll see there's so much knowledge here coming that you can't wait to be part of the ads camp. So today, we will be talking about some recent changes on the platform, and we'll discuss what these changes actually mean for us today, and what do they mean for the way we advertise in the nearer future. So what do we need to change in our campaigns and so on. We will be talking about dynamic creative, about the topic of video poll ads, which are available in Facebook feed. And we'll be talking about some changes in the way lookalikes are built, about the feature of Facebook activity. And we should at least be talking about the topic of augmented reality, Spark AR, and what does that mean for ads and campaigns that will be we will be able to be doing in the future. So I think let's start. And let's just start with dynamic creative, which mm-hmm. is partly new. Mm-hmm. So
yeah, I mean, so I think there's obviously a number of things we can talk about around dynamic creative. The thing that strikes me in mentioning all of the things that you went through and that are new going into 2020, the year of clear vision, is what I'm calling it, by the way, 2020. I don't know if you know that. That's like 2020 vision. That means you have perfect vision. Did you know that? That's like an English phrase. Is that something you guys have? Yeah. Okay. No. Okay. Yeah. So 2020 means that you have perfect eyesight. Ah. So people are calling it the year of perfect vision.
Yeah, always. But anyway, so stuff from you.
Yeah. Well, there's a lot of stupid nuances in the English language. So there you go. But the thing that gets me thinking about it, I mean, there's a lot of different pieces, but how each of those things, Spark AR, augmented reality, dynamic creatives to some degree, Instagram story, poll ads, the features that are getting rolled out are more interactive, I think is a big thing to say. And not only are they more interactive, but they're also giving us the ability to create custom audiences from them. So much of the ecosystem that we live in right now, and this could potentially derail the conversation slightly, but so much of the ecosystem we live in now is dependent upon the website and the website pixel being integrated with your site, right? And I think as we go through and look at what Facebook is coming out with, Instagram checkout is something that's coming, things that we talked about, polls, all of those things you'd be able to create a custom audience off of that would not be dependent upon the pixel on the site, which is interesting, and especially from a GDPR perspective, keeps it even closer to the vest. So as we think about the future, you also have to think about not only are things more interactive, but what are the things that Facebook can continue to roll out that they could potentially be able to create audiences from? Because think about the success of something like an engagement custom audience or anything, but. Yeah, dynamic creative to me, I mean, just to comment, to bring it back home, is something that can definitely improve results when it's done correctly, but there's still flaws to it. For social proofing is the biggest part of that to me. That's an issue with dynamic creative, that it's imperfect in the way that it's done, and the social proof doesn't carry across as it's supposed to in many ways. So clearly they are going to need a solution for that, but I think if you looked at 2020, being able to have customized, I had never had this in an account. It was, telling about aspect ratio, and it was saying, choose the aspect ratio that'll work for each placement. That's something that I saw two weeks ago that I had never seen before in an account. Maybe you guys have had it for a while, but customization around creative sizing in terms of placement is something that's clearly something.
Yeah. Yeah, but maybe one thing to discuss here. I think, Alexander, you with dynamic creatives, you were talking about the new dynamic creative feature for catalog-based ads, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, because that's the new feature where you can, or where Facebook can use different ad formats based on what Facebook thinks what the user is reacting most to. They can use like a carousel ad or a collection ad, and if we look close at all those things, I think we are going to see in the future more black boxes or a bigger black box with all the things we can analyze and with the things we can see and all the things Facebook is doing automatically for us. I mean, we have CBO, we have automatic placement, we have dynamic creatives. What else? I don't know. And a lot of more dynamic ads. Yeah, something like that. Or even the event setup tool for the pixel is another thing that like automizes or I don't know, makes it much easier for advertisers to use the platform. And I think that's a big, big trend Facebook is going after, like Google did too, and Google is still doing. And this brings for advertisers on one hand, it's a good thing because you don't need to create different ads, you don't need to choose different placements, you don't need to optimize the budget daily on ad set level and stuff like that. But it's a much bigger black box. And if we are looking at, or I was testing the new dynamic creative format, it's such a dumb name because you have dynamic creative for testing on ad set level, and now you have it on ad level for catalog based ads. Such a dumb name, to be honest. And I was testing that, and I'm seeing good results with it, but I can't tell you which ad format now is driving better results. I can't do a breakdown here to see if the carousel ad is working better, or I can't see if the collection ad is working better. So it's a black box for me.
So will not knowing that stop you from using it, or is it just a downside to it and you say, well, the result overall is better than before, so I will be using it, or...
I mean, it depends. It depends on the results. Because if you don't know what's working for you, you can't adjust your strategy for future creatives. I mean, I can't see which format is working better. So it's a total black box for me. So I don't know which format is working the best right now.
Yeah.
And I think that's a problem.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I agree with that. You don't have any idea. The challenge to me is that's thematically goes along with sort of the other challenges along with CBO and consolidated spend and letting Facebook decide is it all comes under, I mean, Facebook even, it's so common that people don't trust that result that Facebook even has a name for it. They call it the breakdown effect, you know, where basically, the breakdown effect technically is when an ad set is spending, this is really nerdy, an ad set is spending basically, and you think that one is working, so you want to increase the budget on it, but then the other audience has more scale. And so initially it might do better, but over time the other audience will do better in the long run because there's more scale there. That's technically what the breakdown effect is. But to me, I mean, there's a breakdown effect with all of these things, and Facebook is trying to push us as advertisers to give up control. Dynamic creatives as an example, as you said, dynamic creative testing is one thing, and dynamic creatives of the ad type itself, as you said, with the catalog, and then obviously the Power Five they're talking about constantly. The issue is when they're going through and they're actually, you know, saying, hey, you should give us a shot, those things most of the time they just don't work as they're supposed to. And that just breeds more and more distrust. And so I think as a Facebook advertiser now, you need to make sure that you're giving, you know, testing what Facebook is suggesting always, to have an eye on that, to see what's actually like what happens. Cause many times I feel like it's week to week too. I mean, CBOs, CBOs are 1 week, they're not good. And then 2 weeks later, they might be doing decently well on bigger audience or something like that. But you also have to have an eye on, you know, what you know is going to be smarter in terms of actually the client results that you're trying to get for. Yeah. I mean, like, there's just things that you know that wouldn't be what Facebook is suggesting that you wouldn't do. I think an example of this recently is like Facebook gave me, because we're a premium or preferred Facebook marketing partner, whatever it is, managed agency, they go through all of our accounts and then they give us a massive deck of, here's what you should change. And one of them that they have is interest expansion. This is another example of that party.
Another black box.
Yeah. And I mean, interest expansion, I'm like, okay, like, yes, I understand what you're saying. And generally it could potentially help me bring more scale, but 100% of the time when I've selected it, it doesn't do as well as if I don't have it selected. So why would I do it? You know, and so that's the challenge that you have in between what they're saying, and you always have to be testing it, but you always have to be careful. I think that's a big part of being a Facebook advertiser now. And I think people need to know that. Know that that's okay. Know that just because you're not following it exactly and you found your own path to success is completely normal.
But I was thinking about that a lot in the last weeks. And looking back, some years Facebook was recommending using automatic placement 5 years ago, 6 years ago, pretty hard. Sure. And pushed it really hard. And I wasn't using it. And I saw better results. But right now I'm seeing, since 2-3 years maybe, I'm seeing the best results when I'm using automatic placement for conversion campaigns. Okay. Disclaimer, only for conversion campaigns or catalog-based campaigns. But but right now it's working. So maybe Facebook is recommending things that are maybe going to work in the future, but not right now.
The more I agree. The better they can adjust it, but...
Totally.
I mean, automatic placements make sense. Automatic placements as a case right now, that's something that I think you have to be always testing, because competition is just to continue to increase, obviously, with rising CPMs and everything else. So you have to be able to be always looking forward and testing. And that's kind of what I was getting at. But I agree with you about automatic placements. And that makes sense that we're recording this in November. You know, automatic placements is something that you have to be able to do now, because there's just too many people that are trying to do the newsfeed. And, you know, I had a client reach out to me, 2 weeks ago, big spender, 800,000 in spend roughly a month in US. And they were saying, oh, the results are really suffering. And every single one of their campaigns was only targeting the Facebook and the Instagram Instagram newsfeed and stories. And that was it. And I'm like, you know, we should try automatic placements. Like, when you're spending that much money, you should see what happens. And obviously, it didn't add incremental, but it took them, it didn't add a major amount of spend, but it did add incremental rather. And so it took them from, you know, a 1.5, 1.6 ROAS to a 1.9, which is, when you're talking about that much spend, a big difference in terms of return on ad spend in a 7-day window. And so I think you're right. I think it's always just kind of looking forward and seeing, trying to predict also what they're going to want you to do and see if you can take advantage of that.
Yep.
You will talk about the difference between suggestions of your representative and the reality on AdScamp, right? So those parts will also be a topic. And Andrew, you just mentioned the part of the platform itself getting more interactive. And the changes the platform made in the last months were really working on dynamic parts. And in our opinion, one special thing is a highlight. It's called video poll ads in Facebook newsfeed. What are your experiences with this new interaction format on using this in your ads?
I mean, I think anything that gets the user to interact is great. I mean, I think if you look at, you know, we've had Instagram story poll ads now for most of 2019. And I think that not only my experience in helping me scale accounts in several instances, you know, well, first of all, I got the idea to do them and how to do them from Florian. So that should be noted. We were testing them, but not in a huge way. And Florian was the one that said, you should really give these a shot. So just credit where credit's due. I think anything that gives the ability to advertisers to have the user, to convert a user, but also gain them from an interaction standpoint and put them into the middle part of the funnel is good. I think right now, Facebook is talking to me with some of our clients about interactive games, which seems like a lot. And most people aren't going to do that because it requires a ton of money and development costs. But it allows you to, you know, build audiences from that. It allows you to make sure that the user always ends up at a discount in the game, you know, and so that side of it to me is good. And I think the more that you can keep people around and keep them interested in what you're doing as an advertiser, the better off you're going to be. And if it's under the guise of a brand doing it, I think that's a better way than in the future than you know, I'm just this company that's selling sunglasses or whatever. You know, it's the same thing to me with with augmented reality, where they take, you know, you're able to in the future try on sunglasses using your camera, because that to me is, you know, it's just more genuine. It's what you would do in the store, and it's a capability that we have online that we you know, is going to be, I think, really, really helpful for a lot of brands.
So have you ever been building Instagram filters on Spark AR by now?
We haven't actually launched any of them, but we are working with two partners that are developing them now. So we haven't launched any yet, but I think probably in the first part of the year, we will have, you know, some stuff that we'll be testing. We're hesitant always in the fourth quarter to test anything new too much, just for, you know, for obvious reasons. So I think we'll probably be trying them in the beginning part of the year. And it's not, the Spark AR creation tool is okay, but it's not as, it's of course not as easy as they make it seem like it is, you know? So I think we'll get there. And just like, I mean, look at the ability to customize creative, you know, the ad creation kit, or video creation kit, now that we have at the ad level. You know, that tool was terrible when it was rolled out, but over time it's gotten easier to use. And I think we'll see the same thing with AR, because they're going to want people to do it. And especially partnerships with Shopify and others that are in the works, that we know that's going to make the viability of that, you know, much, much
easier. I think
easier.
all those ad creatives that that help you like get more engagement, also help you win more auctions, because in the ad auction, there's your bid and how much you bid. And there are so many different bid strategies, which I'm not a huge fan of, to be honest. I think it's much, much smarter to focus on ad creative, focus on creating ads that are engaging and keep the user engaged. Have, I don't know, provide some fun experience for the user, which is good for Facebook, which will help you win more auctions, which will bring you more delivery for your ads, and which, in my experience, bring better results at the end, also looking on return on ad spend. So, and if we talk about IG poll ads, if we talk about Facebook video poll ads and all that, or even AR, whatever, all of that is engaging, and all of that helps you, in my opinion, win more auctions and overall provide a better user experience.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I totally agree. I think the other thing to mention is, as a Facebook advertiser, one of the things that's imperative is that you also make sure to tell your to note to your clients, hey, here are the other things we are also testing. I think that you it's in the DNA of what we do. Well, let me say this. It wasn't always in the DNA of a lot of advertisers. And I think that it was more of advertisers would take a playbook that they learned from someone, probably like, you know, us on this podcast. They learned people that are doing education. They would take it and they would use that framework, and that was all they would do. And I think now, in order to set yourself apart and in order to have really good client retention and keep people around, you have to be, you know, saying transparently to the clients, here's what we're doing to keep the business running for you. And here's also the 10 to 20% of experimental spend that we are also using to test these new things, whatever they may be. Because you have, in order to be good at this, you have to just be testing, and you have to accept that that there's things that you know, but there's also things you don't know at all. You have to be able to just be testing stuff so that you can turn and say, yeah, that's doing okay here, because there's also so many nuances by country, by by anything, you know, that one thing that's going to work somewhere isn't going to work somewhere else. And so I think you have to be really dedicated to that. And that's a big part of the job description.
And you should use the good times in your ad account to test new things, and don't get, sorry?
Right.
The good old
times. Absolutely.
The good old times.
No, the good performing times into your ad account. But every ad account, there is no blueprint out there that is working on every ad account. I've never seen that, and it won't be there in the future. So you always have to test different approaches. I mean, the structure of an account could be mostly the same, different funnels, stages, different audiences, different creatives. So, but into the funnel status, you have to test everything.
Another thing we need to test right now, because Facebook changed the way they build lookalike audiences. So we looked into our Facebook Ads Camp or Ads Camp ad account, and we saw like, all right, last year we were using lookalike audience based on interactions on the Facebook page or on the videos, and they were used to do advertising in the Netherlands, in Belgium, in France, and we could not use them anymore because Facebook changed the way they build lookalike audiences. By now,
you don't have to choose the country anymore, yeah, right?
Facebook tells us that they will, you know, that you just give the source audience and then they build the lookalike audiences. And on ad set level, you choose the country where the ad is delivered. And by now, in my opinion, they will dynamically will build the lookalike audience for the country the ad is delivered on. So this is, I think.
It is, but I haven't seen it into the accounts that I'm managing. But I think that's a good update, because it says honestly it's stupid to choose the country on in the audience menu, switching to the ad set level, and choose the country again.
In my opinion, it's now a harder job, because you could easily build a lookalike audience based on the next land next country. For example, you have a core your custom audience. Based on your customers in Germany, and you want to find similar customers in France, and you could easily select in the safe audiences, the lookalike audience, and break down like by age or by interest or by demographics or by usage. So you could easily find out how much parents are in this lookalike audience living in France, for example. And this sort of strategy or analysis doesn't work anymore.
I think that's actually a really good change, because I always thought it was stupid that you had to go through and choose the actual country, especially for those of you that are advertising in multiple countries like you guys are. I mean, it was super common when I would audit accounts in other countries, specifically in the EU, they would be like, you know, a France 3%, like a UK 3%, and they would be lumped together, and then they would all be targeting the UK. And I was like, this doesn't make sense. Like, wouldn't you want to horizontally scale them into different places? But then they would say, oh, I tried that and it didn't work. So now I lump them and I use them all from different countries to the country itself. So like, they'll have, you know, France, Germany, the UK, and they'll all be 3% lookalikes of purchasers from each of those countries, but then they'll be targeting in one ad set the UK, in one ad set France, in one ad set Germany, and they're like, this seems to be working for us. It was either that or they would have them all lumped. Mm-hmm. And which is, so that's a good change, because that just simplifies it. There doesn't need to be the lookalike by country, because a lot of times it's too small. Outside of the US, like it's difficult. I think to have it be, the lookalikes aren't big enough to really work, especially under conversion objective. There's not enough data.
Okay, so there's still one topic on our list, right?
Yeah, there's one topic on our list, and I really tried to do it in a self experiment. So there's the off Facebook activity tool in Germany by now, and I just disconnected my account from all the pixel data they collected the last month and years. And it was really amazed to see how worse the ad experience getting from a user perspective by opening up Facebook again after I used this tool, because I really got not relevant advertising anymore.
But on the other hand, you got rid of some of the advertising you wouldn't like to see and where you were in the target group.
Yeah. But it's really...
Was it easy for you to delete your data out of it? Is it easy to find for a user that isn't using Facebook like you do?
It's four or five steps you need to find this, but you can find it easily in your Facebook app when you browse to it and you really know what the app is like, you know, with categories and securities and settings and stuff. But it's rolled out in Germany, and Facebook haven't told anybody how to use it by now.
well, they in all the events, they tell, well, this is a major feature for transparency. But it's not like they throw the feature in front of the user. It's more like they hide it somewhere in the basement behind a closed door. And before the and there's a wall and you have to climb over the wall. So but still, so what would be interesting to, is to know what's your evaluation. Do you think that that will change anything? So will there be a relevant number of users using it, so we get a problem with retargeting, or would the people that we lose on retargeting not be buyers anyway? Or what do you think?
I don't think it's a big deal, because one, even if they put it on newsfeed, I don't think many people use it, because that's what they did also with friend lists and also with privacy settings and also with, I don't know, with so many things, and so less people did use it. And now it's deep down into your settings of your app or of your Facebook account. I don't think that that many people are using it. So if someone is disconnecting you as an advertiser or himself from the audience, I don't think it's a big disadvantage, because if someone is disconnecting from advertising you, it's maybe better to not reach those audiences, yeah. To be honest. But
you would never have been a conversion or...
You would never have... You wouldn't buy anything from this advertiser. But on the other side, I think it's important to have a feature like that for transparency, for... I mean, we are always talking about GDPR here in Germany. This is a big thing to have as a feature. So I'm not... I don't know. I'm not scared about that. Not at all. And I'm happy to have a feature like that, to be honest, because it brings more transparency and more trust on the platform. Yeah. So I think it's good.
Yeah. I concur. I mean, I don't think, I think that whenever I hear that, when I heard that the first time, I think I actually kind of freaked out. I remember when they're announcing that and I was like, oh, that's it. This is the end of Facebook advertising. I'm out. And then I remember getting on the phone with a bunch of different colleagues from around the world, and basically everyone calmed me down, including Florian, saying, you know, it's I don't think many people are going to do it. And the thing that I thought about since then is I was speaking to a colleague who does a lot of Google advertising, and she runs one of the biggest SEM firms in the United States. And she said, you know, people have this on Google, like nobody's going and clearing their email, you know, or Google Chrome. Like this doesn't happen that often. And I was like, yeah, you know, you're right. Like I've not done that. I like the relevance personally. I like the personalization, so I don't clear it. So I think those two things combined is fine. And for those that want to clear it, they can, you know, that's their choice. And that option is there and it should be there. And that's a good thing. But you know, unless you set in a reminder to clear it every time, I don't see that being the case. And the other thing, you know, a lot of it is obviously built around the pixel. And so that's sort of where I was going to in the beginning of what I was talking about of the audiences that are owned by Facebook. Those would not be clearable necessarily in some of the new ways. So if you engage, you do other things, that's something that's not pixel related. That's Facebook related, and that's on Facebook activity that's remarketable.
Yeah, and I think we talking about the future maybe again, and Kyle from Facebook talked about that on AdScamp this year too. I think it's totally possible in the future to have a world where there's no Facebook pixel and no tracking outside of the platform. I don't think that's a total that's a thing that could happen, honestly. But seeing Facebook and all the other platforms inventing things like checkout on Instagram, checkout on Facebook, stuff like that, Facebook Pay announced this week. I think it's even without Facebook Pixel, it's possible to do great stuff. So
yeah, it seems like the platform is preparing for a world where it is probably. Forbidden, or where it's more kind of a problem to track users all around. So that's clearly the case, and a lot of features that we see obviously go in that direction.
Right, and going on, we have one more topic, one more thing, because as Andrew already mentioned, it's November by now, and it's nearly 6 weeks till New Year's Eve, I think, 6 or 7 weeks. And by now it's quarter four, competition is rising, prices are rising, the hottest period of the year is coming up concerning e-commerce. What are your main points you focus on your strategic approach concerning Facebook advertising in the next month?
Yeah, I mean, for me, it's there's a number of different ways to approach this. And I think that different brands do this differently. So let me say this isn't a prescription by any means. I think that with rising competition, I think one of the things in the fourth quarter that's always important is understanding to send traffic when it is cheaper before it gets more expensive, that have people that have never heard of you. So in the fourth quarter, you know, spending time sending brand new people to your site so that by the time, you know, the holiday or Thanksgiving in the United States it is, I don't know if it's the same in Germany, Black Friday, Cyber Monday comes around, you know, you're able to remarket to those people. I think if you look forward in terms of increasing competition, you know, into 2020, how do you combat this? To me, I think it's a mixture of the things that we've talked about today. I think it's a mixture of using the same playbook that a lot of people use, which is, you know, understanding the relevance and frequency as it relates to remarketing. I think it's understanding and building a strong middle of the funnel, engager activity, you know, people that are voting, maybe will have the ability to create audiences, people that are voting on a poll, on Instagram, and people that have, you know, opened an email, that type of thing. That's a thing I see a lot of people miss within competition, and they believe that they can just go from prospecting to remarketing, and there doesn't need to be a mid-funnel. So that's a big part of combating the rising costs for us. And then I think it's, you know, understanding and trying a mixture of different lookalikes, like always. It's trying value-based lookalikes. It's trying static lookalikes off of your email list. And being conscious of that, along with scaling to just broad, wide audiences of the entire country, and seeing what they can do in CBOs by themselves. So that's the kind of thing that we're thinking about. I think if you tie it to creative, and you know, it's really trying the things that we know are going to do decently well, like a photo link post is always going to do pretty well. We've been integrating a lot more organic creative coming from Instagram lately. And tagged Instagram creative that we can promote now and using that in different parts of the funnel. And that certainly helped with costs. And so it's that, but it's also trying out experimental ad units that are new, that are things that, you know, could potentially help just bring down your CPMs and therefore bring down your overall CPA. So that's kind of the way that we think about it in Q4 and onwards.
I think you should find a good balance between a more like a complex setup with different campaigns, different ad sets, different creatives, and a more consolidated setup. To be honest, it's not Facebook speaking here; it's still me. But right now, for me, what's really working is consolidation of audiences into one CBO campaign. And using automatic placement, and what we are using in every ad account is the creative optimization feature. So we like you have to upload a different video for feed, you have to upload a different video for stories, which brings more flexibility for Facebook for in the auction. So, but again, it's a black box here. Somehow you can't manage the spend like you do when you use different CBOs, for example. But that's what I'm seeing right now. So I'm consolidating much because it's working better. I don't split out that many audiences anymore. I don't use that many different lookalikes into their own ad sets. I'm putting every lookalike audiences into one ad set. So value-based lookalike audiences, purchase-based lookalike audiences, I don't know, add-to-cart-based lookalike audiences, all into one ad set, not into different ad sets. And that's what's working for me right now. So less complex setups and more focus on creatives. That's what I'm seeing right now, and what I think will be the biggest thing in the future to get the best out of it.
That's it. Yeah. I mean, I disagree a little bit.
That's good.
That doesn't work as well. But I think for certain spends, I think that can still work really well.
Yeah. I mean, you need a higher spend for that.
Yeah. But I would love it to be as simple as that. And if that starts to perform, if the simplicity starts to outperform the manual splitting of audiences and things like that, that would be great. It's so much easier.
It is. It brings so much time for testing new creatives.
Yeah, absolutely.
So that's basically Flow Your Strategy now for the upcoming month, not just for Christmas, but what you see as a change in your strategy, that you focus more on seeing more the lever in testing more creatives and more different types of creatives, and less focusing on experimenting with the more technical levers that you have.
Yeah, honestly, yeah. I mean, you still have to test everything. And one thing regarding CBO, and if you mix in a top funnel everything into one campaign, and you have like open targeting and super lookalike audiences, whatever, so different lookalike audiences into one ad set. One thing that I was seeing is the open targeting gets most of the spend. So you need to make sure that you make use of the ad set spend limits to have a little bit more control over spend. But yeah, I'm focusing more on the creative side, and I'm agreeing with Andrew that one thing so less advertisers are using is existing posts into their advertising strategy. This also brings so much more time. If you think about it, and you create Instagram posts that can be used into your ad campaigns, or Facebook posts that can be into your ad campaigns. For example, something that I'm seeing for e-commerce is like a split screen image with on the left some text on it, focus on product, I don't know, zoomed in into your product, on the right side more lifestyle kind of image. So something like that. Implemented into your organic strategy, which means you don't have to create different things for organic and paid, which means you have more time creating stuff, and then use those things into your campaigns, like Andrew said. So use existing posts in top funnel that's working extremely well for e-commerce for me too. And it's much easier to build social proof on those creatives than it is on normal ads, dark posts, whatever. Even if you're using post IDs, or if you're using the new keep existing comments feature, whatever, it's easier to build social proof on existing posts, in my experience, than it is on regular ads.
So I hope everybody who listened to this podcast has now a little expanded playbook about what to do in the next month and weeks, and we are also very excited to see what sort of creatives will work in the crunch time in holiday season, on Black Friday, on Cyber Monday. And especially we focus by now on the time after Christmas, because people, they get money as a present, so they are able to spend maybe more in January. So by now this will be a very excited time.
Yeah, definitely. So as an advice, don't spend everything before Christmas. People will have money afterwards. So very simple.
And exactly. And CPM will drop. CPM will drop on last shipping day, so 21st of December. And then you will get, for the same spend, you will get, I don't know, twice as much reach, whatever. And if your conversion rate keeps maybe the same, you will maybe get twice as much conversions, but I don't think that conversion rate will stay the same. But even if it drops a little, you will get twice of reach, and then the performance should keep up if you have a product that could be sold. I mean, yeah, that's
definitely so.
But one thing, do not forget, these two guys, Andrew and Florian, will be in Cologne on the 4th and 5th of May. So be sure to get your AdScam tickets by now. They're limited, so it's not, first come, first serve. last year it was sold out very quickly. And
And if you want to know what they are talking about, have a look at their gender on adscamp.com at adscamp.de. So thanks for listening. Thanks, guys, for your time. We are really proud that you're on stage again on at Adscamp. It's always a pleasure to nerd out together with you guys to have a chat about the recent topics concerning the ads platform, the ads manager, and I really enjoyed the talk. Thank you.